Father, we bless your holy name and thank you that you see and behold all things. And Lord, not just our lives or this time, not even this age only, but all things, all people, every life, every existence in all time. Lord, you are the beginning and the end. You are the progenitor of all life, the one who initiates and expresses your will. Lord, before you created, nothing was expressed. No word was spoken. No love was expounded or expressed. It wasn't given to another. You had it all. It was a part of your being. But the greatest expression of love, you said yourself, is when it is put on or to or in action, fulfillment towards another. And you decided to make many upon whom you could lavish your love. Those who would seek your face, seek to know you, to hear you, to obey you. Every act of true obedience, every act of true faith, every decision in faith,
Jesus,
is a fulfillment of your plan.
Hallelujah.
One upon the other, from age to age, Lord. Paul said, it is impossible to please God without faith.
Yes.
Faith produces hope.
Yes.
And the end is love.
Yes.
That being the fullest expression of your life, of your grace, of your power.
Yes.
And the greatest gift that you have given us to share with you, with one another. Lord, love overcomes, conquers, supersedes all things. It exceeds the greatest gifts, but it also overcomes the hardest circumstance. It brings light and hope to the darkest place, to the deepest deep. And its expansion is uncontainable. It reaches to the highest place, even your throne.
Thank you.
Love has no boundary because it is an expression of your life. And you are without boundaries, without limitation. Lord, that's the love we want. That's the life we pursue. That's the hope we have.
Hallelujah.
And this is the end that we pursue. So, Father, let us each be encouraged by your love and full of faith that what you promised, you will do.
Yes.
Because you love us. Lord, we know that you are a promise keeper. That you have a duty to your promise. But you don't even see it that way. You see it as the fulfillment of your desire. So Lord, when we take hold of your promises, we're not trying to have you fulfill your duty, but giving you the opportunity to express your love. Because obedience or love,
Jesus,
knowledge, wisdom, is greater than sacrifice. And you look for the contrite heart, the obedient spirit. the expression of love given back to you. It's the only thing that we have of value to give to you, is our love. That is the greatest expression of our life. So Lord, we confess we are continuing to learn how to lay our lives down for one another as an expression of that same love, one to another, so that the world will see, so that all creation can see that we are your sons. And that is what we are. We are your sons, called by your name, promised an inheritance in the Father's name and in the name of Jesus.
The name Jesus.
It's not a claim.
In the name Jesus.
It's a right.
In the name Jesus.
As a son.
Yeah.
A son doesn't have to demand anything from his father. All things are given.
Yeah.
So Jesus said, everything that the Father has is mine.
Yeah.
And I am giving it to you. I am conferring to you a kingdom, an inheritance, a name, a portion.
What wonderful love this.
Lord, let this truth and this reality raise us up above the chaos of the world, that we literally see and view from a higher plane, in another realm, a realm outside of time and space, one that cannot be touched or even influenced by the working out of your plan in time. Lord, let us bring the faith in that reality into obedience in this reality, so that all things can submit to you. So Lord, we give you all that we have. Our life, our substance, our possession, our family, our desires, our hopes. Lord, with the expectation that our hopes, our desires become one with yours.
Yes.
And then how could we ever be poor?
Yes.
Because we have access to all that is in your house.
John Lee has on him, so he's dismissed the thing. So. Lee has on his forehead, I mean, somehow like sneezing is more than bodily.
Yes, Lord, dismiss it, any spirits, Father, that seek to come against our brother, Lord, your will, your purpose, Father, in his life, the lives of them with whom you've joined him, Father, his life in you.
You just prayed for the most powerful, sublime, and pure, and enlightening and liberating thoughts a man can ever pray.
I saw this beam of light come down from heaven. It was like it was slowed down so I could actually watch this, but it hit this structure with huge force, and then shooting out in all four directions, the light just went out across just as he was praying, right before he twirled his hands.
Lord, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You know, let me slow down a bit and think, then give words to it. This is the words the Lord showed to me while you're praying. So you see, he was saying, some other guy in commentary of the prayer, he said, all the foolish leaders of this world, loud, mouthy, promising many things, all try to garner the agreement, the fear, the support of mine, said, I can give you something. If you just support me, you just make me your leader, I can give you something. It's all a liar, you know? man intrepid, you know, enthusiastic, is, you know, try to divide between each other, torn each other apart, said they know that man is not from God, they know, you know, all are liars, they know their mind is darkened, they know they are selfish, ambitious, not for the benefit of others. They know the, I'm not talking about the, this nation, I'm talking about all the leadership most in the world across history, the rulers of the world. And that actually a good introduction for our talk. That we might, in the days to come, we can gradually talk about it. You know, but they can't give you God. They can't give you love. You know, they can't give you the real answer of your quest, a peace. We're not talking about the all good theology argument, right? We're talking about the, they really cannot deliver anything that a real man wants. Surely there are people, you know, their life is a shadow, their life is a loss, their life is confused, their life is even wicked, right? They don't know what they are pursuing at all. But we talk about the people with a good heart, pursuing God, pursue good things for others, for his own life, pursue good things even for God. Yet still think those leaders have an impact over your life. They don't. You know, the real gospel is exactly what Jesus and the team prayed for. You give them some. That's not arrogant. Because with all that he has, he can't purchase anything that he has, you know. That's not because, okay, God's wisdom is priceless, you know, God loves God. This religious connotation. We're talking about the real deal, you know? Deep down in their soul, deep down in the heart, they know themselves, they can't do anything. You know, they can't even choose their own child. They can't even impress their own wife, you know? Deep down in their heart, they know they cannot deliver whatever. So why they then spend themselves enthusiastically, zealously, to even entrap others, to believe that they can support some cause, can solve some problems? Because they were darkened. You know, their mind is darkened. They have embraced and tried to invest and be exalted in the wrong kind of wisdom. This is what I'm speaking about. The wisdom of this world, the wisdom of man. Now, so they try to rule one another, they themselves try to compete to be able to have a seat to decide the course of themselves, of nations, you know, to be spent like that. I'm not talking politician, I'm talking about the pure-hearted leaders, you know, from the beginning, and they can't get it. Because God was never given them. God was never the counsel, never the source, never the purpose. You know, Beyonce says my point. God is not in everything what they do. But if God chose you and I, going to say, my son, I'm going to confer you a kingdom. You surely, that has to be starting somewhere. There will be a clear understanding that those are the wisdoms that cause trouble rather than lend us a solution support. So there has to be a departure on our part, willingly, knowingly, or unwillingly, unknowingly, from that kind of way. God has to snatch us out from the Babylonian, the spirit world. So, now you get out of it. If it's not for yourself, again, yourself, it's not to be spent, then how God is going to use you? God didn't say, oh, you get out of Babylon, there is no city, no kingdom anymore. There's no community, no people anymore. No, there's the Jerusalem. There's a nation of God and a kingdom of God. And there is affairs that is still in the common people. You see the subtle Christianity? Said, no, all those are God going to give us, do it together, do it with good heart, simple like a child, you know, those kind of sounds were good thinkings, but absolutely has no clue what the son's responsibility, what a kind of the father's wisdom want to impart to a son in terms of dealing with his business. How you can, with that mindset, to manage a nation? Now, God didn't say you manage it like a man would do, like the doing with Babylon system. He said, no, you represent me to do it, you know? So how you go about it? There's a fundamentally, there's a disconnect between the two mindsets. A son's mindset will say, Father, I'm so tired that my foolish man run the show and the world follow it, you know? The devil is in the middle of it. And you are this, you know, you were never in the midst of it. You were never honored in it, and you don't honor it for sure. But people were destroyed by it. So there's remnant still asking for the right down that stays the course, like Elijah in his days, you know. They didn't get the garment soft, you know. But when? How long? What is it going to look like? What are you going to do? We stop that. The Christianity, the best hope for revivalism, whatever piousness, is stopped there. Said, yeah, we need to cry for God for deliverance. God wrap up this wicked witch. God punish the wicked. God do everything, am I right? God just come down from heaven and begin to rain, you know? So, but not all of it, I mean, no, sorry, not it, few of it has us ever think, well, listen, God will do it through you. Just like He chooses Son, like He chooses Adam, like He chooses Abraham, like He chooses David, He's going to redo it. He's going to choose Noah to start a new age. He's going to do it through you. Oh, it can't be like that. But that's ever been the faith at the temple that God wanted to deal with a called one. In the beginning, He created a man, He wanted him to trust and endear and the fellowship and establish a man just like that. That's exactly what He wanted to do. That's why He exhorted those men and set them as testimonies for us. But we have subscribed to the false religion and give us produce a false humility after it is a series of pride or blindness, based on blindness, a blinder, a will. You can never do that. You can't be like a God. You can't be perfect like Jesus. Okay. It's all He's doing. You just rest. You just piously just do your best, you know. Imagine, I have this picture right now. God don't want a housemaid. Every day to clean the dishes, did the cook, clean the floor, did everything, but that's a Christianity service is God. You know, that's our services. A, as long as I clean this floor, I let me cook some dishes and rice, so man, I'm in the business of the Father. Give me a break. I mean, you can be the best dish maker, you know, cook, best dish cleaner, best, you can be the best gardener, whatever is the best, but definitely have nothing to do with the business household. Because the business household, even the dirt is full of the floor, even if you don't eat the meal good, you're the father and the son still designing the business, the house. There's a totally different of a sphere engagement there has nothing to do with cleaning. Yes, it's to do with cleaning. You know, you somebody's going to do it. But you see, Christianity has totally sidetracked and fractured the mindset of God for us as a son. You know, Yes, he's a faithful. Time is made in Hebrew, so let's some say, hey, this is not a scripture, this is exactly scripture. Come with me to, let's open up to you, can you read that? Most Hebrews, Wes is there, I think Wes is there, right?
Yeah, he's there.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's say hello first. Hallelujah. Wes? Hallelujah.
Mr. God, he was on
the control. Oh, it's fine. Bless you, brother. Was wanting to say hello to you, okay?
Yeah. I don't think he is a
spirit.
He's back. Okay. Yeah. So Tom is me.
We're just saying hello, brother.
Yeah.
We were just saying hi to you. Yeah. There he is.
Tom is meeting Hebrew 3 chapter. Let's see this picture. So we know last time we might be fresh in your memory, we compared that Jesus is better than angels. Now, we Jesus, we're speaking in many brothers he brought into a holiness, into a position of life that's set apart for God. Am I right? As a son. God being the Father now, more than God to them. They are one family. He's not ashamed to call them brothers. They have a better place than angels. For God didn't entrust the ages to come to the angels, but he gave to the Son. More than give to one Son, he gave to all of them. You know? You're a new people, new creation. And in this light, we see continue that there's a huge gap. Oh, Jesus is the author of salvation. Jesus is with us. Jesus is the one sitting on the throne. He is the only King and the Lord. We just worship him, humble ourselves, you know, bury the dust, just cry glory. That's all you do. What a shallow Christianity. And we think that is legit. That's how to worship God. You never know the truth. Worship God in spirit and truth. Secondly, even the spirit is assumption. What that different is you from, let's see, from the people who worship in the temple? What's the difference? What's different than you make you different than, let's see, David? Or John the Baptist? So it has nothing to do, this kind of overlay, has nothing to do with when Jesus speaking, I will rewrite the way how I want the Father. The Father desire such one to worship in spirit and truth. Then he's speaking the truth. But we use that truth is about this Christian creed, this belief system, this confession you're going to make, but never about the sonship, the fullness life, the Father's heart for the Son. Not a merely spiritual man, a son. Angels are spiritual. Angels don't necessarily have any sin, just like Christ never sinned. But did not God give angels to the ages to come? The business to take care? He didn't. So he reserved for sons. So what that means has nothing to do with the kind of spiritual or unspiritual in the connotation man tried to apply to us. Because it often comes from a place we are sent, we fall short of God's glory, we just do our best. I'm making sense. Clarify the cloud. And this Hebrew, the author, is clearly speaking to such people. They think there's no difference. They just worship God. No difference to turn away from these ministers and turn back to the old Jewish ways. They still worship the same God. They still congregate with God-loving people. They still. And why we should, you know, try to make something different than our fellow worshippers, and because we make our talents so horrible, and the world don't permit us to do this. I don't think God really wants us to happen that, you know, for us. We can't even survive. We're going to be killed. So there's no difference. So let's turn, you know, God has mercy, God is good. He will put up with that.
there's no big deal. But in the back of the head, these arguments is a reflection in the author's discernment. Clearly, they have fulfilled the gospel by doing that. Because they never understood, get a hold of the real gospel yet. The author said, your faith is at stake. And it's not about, okay, you become an elite, you become, you know, to God devoted, so different than others. Is that the picture today? That's nothing to do with that. It's about the truth and the spiritual calling, spiritual sonship is already received. And the other said, well, that's really at stake. Here, you turn back to those things, to your vomit. Once you taste the power and you crucify Jesus again, there is no further repentance for you. The author says, we're fine though, in his admonishment. If angels are to be feared, look, listen, this message we carry, you need to be more fearful for you. Demand more rewards. So, we're not here to compare we just build this context to see what in the mind of the author of Hebrew. And this is an affirmability of Paul. You know, what he really troubled him to that begin to speak sternly and passionately, also sublimely, about the insights he has as mysteries, as a wisdom of God, and the entrustment that is given to him to impart, am I right? If you're going to teach people, discipline people in the house of the Lord, to impart to the believer, and what the believer is going to reach it, you know, allow others to drift them away, you know? What is really at stake? He knows what is really at stake. And the stake is more than that. He is not loving them, or they have not done enough sacrifice for the Lord's service, Lord. They don't love God. That's not at the stake here. The stake is they never understood the real calling of sonship. They never enter into this heavenly order. Therefore, they have never touched the real grace of God. Means that they were drawn to Paul through the miracles, through his knowledge of the scriptures, they drove by many things. You know, he was a godly man. He's humble, he's passionate for the Lord. There's many external attributes of him can compel people, charismatic, whatever, you know, charisma, can put people, I want to love God, I love God, I want to have that godly man, you know. And he has a reputation to serve the Lord. And God has sent him, you know, we see miracle, we see healing all happened. But in all that, that's pretty sum up of the creating today's charismatic Pentecost movement. In all that, they never understand the message of truth he carried and the kind of worship he wanted to introduce or revise, renew from their back traditions, backtrack their life, the traditions of King's Rome. Though what Jesus facing this Samaritan woman said, woman, I tell you, you know, the Jews worship in Jerusalem, they got the right worship, and you guys worship here, you don't even know what you're doing, you don't know what God you're worshiping. Either way, however, let me tell you, it's canceled. It's no more valid anymore. Because I am here, I am he, to tell you, and introduce, teach you a better way to worship. God seek this to worship him, to worship him in spirit, in truth. Let's build on that. Come with me to John Gospel 4 chapter. So we see that, am I right? And that worship in spirit, in truth, that truth word, is a word misleading in modern Christianity. It tends to be concepts, you know, creeds, theological, sound doctrines, called. But the reality, like Hebrew, the author so passionately wants to expound, is lost. So we see this in 4 chapter. He said in 10:1, he said, believe me, woman, a time is coming, an age is coming, an epoch, when you will worship the Father, hallelujah, worship the Father, he didn't say worship God, neither on this mountain, nor in Jerusalem. Now we know they were by Jebel well, am I right? So, you Samaritan worship what you don't know. We worship the Jews what we do know. Know that is experienced, you know. For salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, an age is here. And now has come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. How many of us has really absorbed what Jesus really meant here? He just right off this woman said, the things in Jerusalem no more count. The things that you have think God is supposed to worship God, you know, you take a little bit of pride in, it's no more count. No more. I'm here, I come. You worship God in spirit and truth in the way I'm going to teach you. It's incompatible. I am He to bring this worship because I am through the Son the Father introduced. Let's get back to the example we said. Well, a guy is cleaning the floor, he tried to come to the Father, the Son, said he did not do a perfect job. You know, in the beginning, I don't even know what the groom is look like. You know, I don't know to reach down the corner. Now I know every tool, everything. The Father, the Son will praise him. Thank you, wonderful servant. Thank you for the good job. But that mindset is a self. That conversation to start with, the Father and Son cannot decide it. The servant decided it. Because that's only he cares. He just wants them to pray. Then the agreement, that approval. Approval. If we seek such approval, he thinks that all is the Father's business about it. That's all that the Father and the Son has for him. That's all that he can get and serve God. Good about him, right? He works his wages. Then the Father and the Son literally cannot do anything. I mean, that man decided what kind of engagement, what kind of reward, what kind of approval, what kind of agreement he need. A thick will. The Jews, a thick will with modern Christians. People said, I believe I was done because I'm cleaning out the floor in my Father's house, in Father God's house. Wrong. You see, a man may never clean the floor. Mary never did the cooking, but she was a disciple. She was a true disciple. I'm not saying that we don't clean the floor. We clean thousand times the floor much better. You know? I mean, the point is, the Father's business in the household is cannot be conveyed, engaged, and converse or fellowship in the old wineskin. And that wineskin is over many a man's life in terms of when they say, I know how to follow God, I'm fulfilling my calling, I'm doing service for the Lord, but never really understand the heart of the Father for the true Son. How sad is that? How sad is that? And when we touch it, just the surface level of it. People say, oh, are you saying we're not saved? The first argument. The second, Are you guys surprised you think you all got all the messages without doing God's service? What difference are we and you? Yes, I will tell you, it's very much different. You see? You know, the Father, yes, he cares the floor. He cares the cooking process. He very much cares about it. And he gives a better reward for those work on it, for sure. But, man, I'm not going to tell, that servant to tell, to deal with it, another son. Oh, the brother, you know, he's a young brother. The servant has no business to involve with that. I'm not going to do that through another son. Bringing many sons to glory, many brothers. So what glory? Well, I'm talking to different glories. You know, interesting enough, the Bible clearly gives denotations of these two glories. Let me show you. The Shekinah glory, glory from heaven, fall down the altar for Solomon, oh, fall down the day of Pentecost, God gonna shoot the horse, everybody gonna marvel, the whole world gonna be stirred, then God is in our midst. But how many have thought about the invisible glory of God begin to express the inner wisdom, inner life source, inner man that dwells in bodily form? He may get sick, he may be in chains, he may even dead, yet he is the Son of God. A different gospel, a different grace, a different glory, a fundamental different glory. This glory is called the wisdom of God. It's equivalent. Okay, let's continue using the parable of cleaning the house or cooking the meal. Now you know what? When a good chef cooks the meal, well, father, son will get around and eat that meal. Talking, am I? So don't stretch out. You know, just talking. Now we'll pray the servant and say, "Well done. Here's your payment, and you know, take care of your family. Next time we'll do it better. You know, thank you so much. Even give him a seat to sit in. You know, eating together. You know, eating together. But he's still a guest. You don't owe him." You know, no more than, I'm not going to own, evidently, even the son owns everything, he does not involve cooking. So, you would think, wow, the son don't know anything. But the son is the owner of everything. Amen? Everything the Father has is the Son. Right? This is love. That's why John and the Lord disciples, when they wake up to this sonship, this relationship through the Son of God, that they become equally sons of God, co-heirs with Christ. This is it. They can't believe it. Now, it's not by the pride that said, I'm better than David, I'm more glorious than Moses, you know, I did more miracles, I did more works than Abraham, whatever. It's nothing to do with that. It's a belief, the real gospel, you see? And they begin to attend to the Father's truth through the Spirit of Sonship in a totally different spiritual ministry. Spiritual business, the ministry of the spiritual life. It is never about merely salvation. You don't tell me David is not saved. Abraham is not saved, but David, Abraham, looking forward for the profession, for the content of the real sonship, am I right? For the real stuff. the wise men, rulers, the ages, across the ages, looking forward for this thing. Hallelujah. Quote unquote. We think it's the message of the gospel, the kingdom. Now, what that means to you? Different matter. The glory in God is not Shekinah glory. That Shekinah glory is a witness. It's a testimony that God is real to the real with the world. He's there. He exists. He's real. But there's another glory that the angels can no part in it. Don't you know Moses and the law given to Moses were given by angels and listened by angels? That's the Shekinah glory you can get, the best of it. But the Son's glory, angels has no part in that. But the first glory. Let me see this. I eat the best meal. I have a good time with my servant. You don't have that part. You know, whatever the food prepared. Yes, it's wonderful, joyful, satisfying, good time. You know, enjoy the food to my taste, to my senses, to my stomach, whatever. You know, nothing bad things. Everything's good. But there is another joy, you see? When my son, he come to my side, he heed my counsel, he being disciplined, he want to enthusiastically involve with what I'm thinking, what I delight. He don't do any cooking. He's not overexcited. He's not overzealous. He's quiet, composed, and attentive, but he want to know my heart. He want to know what I delight is, what is pleasing in my sight, you know? And he walked with the king to seek my approval. My approval in the way I delight him. In the terms, in the condition, in the ways I delight him. Not himself. Yeah, I could be the best meal I can. John, you like my stir fry, huh? Yeah, really good, am I right? But it's different when I say, John, I've found the most important wisdom of life. You know, the thing troubled to my soul, finally I found a solution, I found the answer. Would you like to hear it? Would you like to dialogue with him now? Two different fellowships, two different proofs. You know, I gotta give you the best meal, you delight, you know, we have your time. I'm pro you, you pro me, yes. But you know what? I can't translate that to say, oh man, my innermost counsel, my innermost wisdom. Different standard. Different standard doesn't fit. Unfortunately, we don't see the difference most of the time in modern Christians, even in our own pursuit of God. So, God desires worship Him in spirit, in truth. Let's not that be translated by man's tradition again. Because Jesus said, cancel all traditions, you know? And we again bring it back to man's tradition, to the net. A man's own making. Try to make a sense of it. Try to tell us to, we know how to introduce you to worship God. Have a New Testament ministry. This is the Holy Spirit supposed to do. What to do? This is what it means to be saved. This means to be a witness of the Lord. You know, to be like that woman, tell every villager that the Lord is here. That's our lesson most of the time. But have we really keenly searched out what is really meant to worship Him, where the Father had to desired this kind of worship, and now it's on board, and now it's opened up. Now is the time. Yeah, he's the Messiah. That's what he named. Is that really Jesus care about? Yes. He's happy. I am he. I'm the Messiah. But this is what it's really about. Do you know the Messiah come with a mission? The Messiah come with a kingdom. The Messiah come with a renewal, or rather true fulfillment of the way how to worship God. What the difference? Let's continue in Hebrew, the book, chapters 3. Therefore, holy brothers, in the beginning, who share in this heavenly calling. Hallelujah. Then Paul said, I am not going to fulfill my heavenly calling. It's not from the particular, today I'm going to do this, tomorrow I'm going to do that. He's talking about this sonship, this holiness in God, this inheritance through Christ Jesus. Now, we translate that because charismatic did that. That's never was the gospel, you know. That's never was Paul's definition and the calling of meaning. The co-heirs with God. The glory through God Christ Jesus for me as a son, you know. That's what he meant. Fix your thoughts on Jesus the apostle and the high priest whom we confess, how we worship him. He was faithful to the one who appointed him. This as another comparison. Moses was faithful in all gospels. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor or glory than Moses, just as what? A builder. Mm-hmm. A builder. Hallelujah. A builder, a builder. Amen? Hallelujah. A builder of the house has greater honor than the house itself. Can you believe that word builder is actually architecture. And you know, the one who makes things, you know, who envision and bring it forth. Am I right? Mm-hmm. War becomes flesh. That's personal life. The whole world came to be. Through him, everything created, invisible and visible. Am I right? That's what it means. Author of everything. The initiator, the source of all things. So Moses was a servant, was a bond slave in the affairs and aftermath. But Christ Jesus was the author, was the original one entrusted with the management of the whole thing. The inheritor, I mean, the one, the heirs of these things. Everything was created for him. And he to share through God, through the Father, share that was given to him. And he said, man, if you believe me, I will share this with you. Means the world was created for me as well, if I believe in Jesus. I'm a son. Am I right? I'm become that co-heir. In him, he's a head of many members. You're in him. A different way of worshiping God. I will tell you, he adds a different gospel to the gospel we often heard. What we have heard, you know. We think we're talking the same thing. We're not talking the same thing. The Hebrew book said, the Hebrew author said, no, folks, let me tell you, we are not talking the same thing like as if we're talking about angels. We're not talking the same thing as if we're talking about Moses. Make sure you know the difference. Or else, we have ministered you in vain. You know, we are filled to carry out the grace. Some said, you are too prideful. You can't minister like that. Well, if you think you can minister like that, how are you going to be a minister like this? What are you going to do with the grace that was given to me, Paul supposedly claimed? The grace that came to me to know the mystery of God, you know? Bill, John, if this is going to be light, it definitely going to smash everything, you know? Because all the false buildings, false foundations, false works, not false, it's not standing, am I right? So you don't build the real foundation. So Christ Jesus being the builder of the house has a greater glory, all what? Honor than Moses, who was a faithful servant. For every house was built by somebody, but God is the builder of everything. And God was with Jesus. In the beginning of the Word was with God, the Word was God. Moses was a faithful servant in all God's house. He was a faithful. He was the best floor cleaner. He was the best cook. Testifying to what would be said or proclaimed, taught, word it should be said, taught, am I right? A prophet is going to come after me, you know? There's a prophet going to, you better listen to him, you know? Moses said. Would be said in the future. But Christ is a faithful as what? A man, a son. Why he didn't see Jesus? We would think
it's the anointing of sonship.
Exactly, we would think the same thing. Now, Jesus was appointed to into Christ, anointed to be Christ. Christ is to be the office now, to the ministry. Jesus is, you know, the expression of the pure Holy Spirit God gave to man. He'd be taught by God the Son. Then he was tried, tempted. And he overcome, he was a sinless, then he died, raised up again, then he was appointed, designated, sitting at the right hand of God, began to initiate this order, put into effect the words, and right upon the time. And just like he talked to, you know, to the woman, hey, time has come. Jerusalem, no more come, don't be jealous about it. Yes, I'm written that was true, yeah, but that time is over. That time is over. I'm here. Let's worship God in spirit and truth. What truth? This reality is the truth. This order is the truth. A better truth, a better reality represented by angels or taught by Moses. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. And we are his house. Hallelujah. And we are his house. If we hold on to our courage and the hope which we boast. Hallelujah. We are his host. He's the author, he's the owner, he's the overseer of the house, but that's speaking the temple. Hallelujah. Speaking, you are his host. With all the talk of the ownership with him, am I right? Let's turn to some said, oh, you just not really, really met. Yeah, turn with just for our other audiences. Let's see, in 9:2:2:2. Chapter, the same book, said, you know, I said, but we see Jesus was made little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor. Hallelujah. Crowned, anointed with the glory and honor because he suffered death. We often concentrate on the part of death. But we were so humble. We forgot the promises. you have to be crowned with the same glory and honor as the Son. I'm saying that's pride, well, that's the gospel. So that by the grace of God, he might test for everybody. That's the part, because the author paid attention to this part. But what's the real message is speaking equally true to his death? Well, the glory and the grace that he introduced to us as the sons of God when we put our faith in him. We forgot to expound on that. Yet the whole book was built and tried to introduce that kind of ministry and admonish the audience. I mean, not to turn away from this faith, this hope of glory. Ten said in bringing many sons to glory. Hallelujah! See, the glory? Not the charismatic thinking, not our normal Bible school thinking wouldn't be suddenly transformed in the blink of eyes, in the twinkling eyes. True. But this glory is now in Christ Jesus. It's here in Christ Jesus. That transformation work is only happening in the lower part of you. But the real glory is in the spirit. Transformation is your motor body. You've been transformed in spiritual life, you know, spiritual life. Glorious body, you have a body of glory. But the glory of God through the Holy Spirit is now in the Spirit. You have peace and power for the ages to come. If you have received Christ Jesus, have peace His goodness. Peter also said, if we suffer temporally afflicted, remember Christ, the glory rests upon you. The mortal body, you feel nothing, feel miserable. The life experience was conditions in a place of sorrow and the confinement and groaning. Yeah, the author said, well, my brothers, fellow saints, glory God, you know, rejoice, for the glory of God rests upon you. What? I don't see it. Yeah. That's why you're suffering. I'm excited about this. Look at this. The holiness. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom, through whom everything exists, should make the awesome. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Salvation perfect. Mature, perfect, fulfilled through suffering. Both the one who makes man holy and those who are made holy of the same lineage, same race, same family. They have the same father. Hallelujah. Do you see that? Both the one who, you know it, you all know it. But I think we can see more the mind of the Hebrew author, right? We can think about what was burning his mind, you know, what was burning his heart when he was put in place that he has to explain these things. He would rather waiting, you know, patiently. But life in that time didn't give him much the condition, and many are falling away. Many truths, you know, to yield to another. Not doctrine for faith, this is not bad. It's just, he said, oh, it's really not comfortable. They're not willing to pay the price for this real faith, you know? Are we still saved? There's no difference. The author said, oh, no, no, my brothers, there's a huge difference, let me tell you about it. You got to pay attention to it. You got to pay attention to it. I'm passionate because, man, that's what God wants to do with us. To bring this glory forward. Now, with this glory, then it was more than this glory, because we suffer, we're going to receive more glory. Because that glory doesn't matter. It's not conditioned upon suffering. It's only that it was birthed, built up through human sufferings, you can say. But that glory lasts forever. Ever increasing glory for the age to come. So what those glory means? Invisible glory, angels cannot touch it, Moses cannot minister it. Hallelujah. Everyone that was given before Jesus was testifying to it, prepared and waiting for it. They long to see it yet don't see it. Am I right? They want to hear it yet can't hear it. They want to be taught by God in those things, yet God conditioned that grace was not given for them to learn. So what is this? Come back with me to 1 Corinthians. We come back again. It is not merely a message, okay, so-called the gospel of the kingdom, not a message so-called, you know, beyond salvation, or the message that, okay, the old wineskin is bad, God is doing a new move. This message is internal. This message doesn't care the flaw, the shortcoming, the suffering, you know, the growing, the birthing. It's a final. It's a perfect. So what is this? Is that to do with just give you a good explanation why you suffer? Or give you the final result? You know, I like Tim talk about it. The shooting, the arrow, you know, the real mark. The hope of glory. The author and the final fulfillment of our faith. The beginning and the end of our faith. In two chapters, in 1 Corinthians, in 6, that we do to the mature, right? To the mature. Hallelujah. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature. But not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers or the wise men of this age, who are coming to nothing. Man, Jerusalem, the temple, come to nothing. Can you believe that? How sad that is? You're thinking about it? Israel, today's Israel, all the passion, all the, you know, all the struggles, we bless them as a people, but all their pious thinking, it doesn't add any single weight. It's almost like it never touched this real thing. Because you can see it, they're doing such different thing. No, I'm not ready for everybody have a heart for Israel, okay? West, especially in this case. I have a heart for Israel. But my point is that the real, the blinder, why we not more concentrate on the real message, you know? We should. We should, because that's your life source, your true mission, true calling. We should. But it does not appeal to man's traditions, man's thinking. It does not centralize, what do you use the word centralize? It's not dialogue along those ways, you know? It don't stir the soul like that. It conditions a man into the narrow gate, through the narrow path. Few will choose it. Few will choose it. That's nothing to do with that God is harsh. Oh, you understand my point? That's the. Well, you shoot an arrow on the mark of the wall. How many are going to make it? You know, so, a matter of fact, he's speaking. So, no, 7 said, we do speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory before time began. Destined for our glory before time begin. That destiny word is okay, you can have a four destination, you finally fulfill your destiny, so this is your glory. That end of the day glory. So you're tied into Christian thinking, right? Normal thinking. But this was not designated like that, as if the future is going to play. It was speaking of the portion of it. There's a portion. There's a sharing, you know? Hallelujah. A portion given to you. My heavenly calling. I will not fulfill my heavenly calling as an heir of God with Jesus. Amen? We do speak God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden, that God designated. You know? Make sure it happened to you. You make sure you are enlightened and you received it. You receive this wisdom, then you are glorified in God. The Word become flesh. Though deity dwells in bodily form. We held the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Now, the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, let's again come back to the beginning of our evaluation of the leadership of this world. Their passions, their schemes, their strives, their appeal, you know? Their best endeavor. As the Lord said, it's filled with garden. It's all going to wrap it up, disappear. As none has ever heard me, none has touched my counsel, none has any share in my glory. But you, you are not of this world. You are not of this world. Hallelujah. None of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord's glory. So the Lord will know that. Clearly, he didn't bring a Davidic kingdom, you know. He didn't make Israel another crown nation. Mm-hmm. He chose Mary Magdalene. He chose those who have ear to hear. Let him hear, he said. He don't appeal to a man. The dragon is a soul, said, hey, let me do something with your soul when you're still carnal. He said, you need to get rid of that, cut the roots, cross over, die unto yourself, and so then have a share in my word. If you don't do it, I have nothing to do with me. I can decide for you. Not that me talking about the sin of discipling, but this is the Lord said, you have nothing to do with my grace. You may say it maybe, but this grace, this discipleship, this impartation of wisdom, you know, the grace. And right, Paul speaking from heaven, diminishing God's grace for the ages that has happened to sons in the living reality, living life. Paul didn't weep. When he raised up from the grave, it has to do the word of the Lord. He said, the grace was given to me to preach the gospel. I am the light to the Gentiles. Christ has taken up to heaven and he is the answer, now he's the source of my life. I am here. I am the light. My word is life. And yes, he said, there is a signs one that's going to accompany me. But let me tell you, folks, don't be immature. Don't still stay in your carnality. Let overcome your carnality so I can sit down with you. I can begin to teach you a real wisdom. That's what he meant. Mm-hmm. Hebrews, believers begin to drift away under persecution and difficulty. He can't let them go. He warned, plead, and clearly illustrated the kind of depth he has and the kind of ministry he represents. Am I right? First Corinthians, second Corinthians, in between maybe 10 years, and not at least a couple years, people play the little charismatic game, would you say? never want to settle down. Their own souls always on the stir, you know? Never die to themselves. And he had to tell me, you grieve my heart. You literally rejected my ministry. I can't fellowship with you. I can't talk to you as a spiritual man. Now that is not to ridicule our peoples. I'm talking about the look. Look out. The terrains of Christianity today. Look out. What are the people excited about it? Nobody wants the real fellowship. And we all think they are the same. We need to learn and be confident. It's not the same. It's different. With that, I'm going to sum up with my message. The hope of glory is indeed through the impartation of the ministry of this wisdom. The word become flesh. This is love. God loves you. That's why he wants to share this wisdom as inheritance for you, your hope of glory. If you love God, you will receive it. You will not entertain and excited with other glory, other wisdom. You will seek in this way to worship him in spirit of truth and gain his approval in this business, in this discipline, in this establishment, in this training. Build it up. Mature. Stand up. Thank you, Father. If God permit, we'll go on to maturity. It's not a personal thing. Yeah, Peter was different than John. Yeah, you can't tell them they're fishermen anymore, but that's not enough. Jesus said, no male, no female, no Jew, no Gentiles. Hallelujah. No American, no Chinese, no John, you know. The same thing. Wes, can you turn on the speaker, pray for us? Yes, thank you. I'm going to have to get it. I hope we receive some signs, visions, stuff like that. So.
Your word become flesh in each of us. Fullness of your word and your life. Lord, we give ourselves to this, your purpose, Lord. Lord, bless your holy name in us that we are consumed by you. Lord, that we are a torch in the world and your glory goes forth.
Yes.
Lord, make us holy, holy, holy as you are.
Thank you, Father.
Lord, glorify your name. And thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, in the real word of God, there is authority, there is weight, and right, there's soberness, there's silence. It's all natural. The word of God said, Jesus taught with authority, you know, so. Nothing strange about it. Go ahead, John. Thank you, Father. Deep.
Lord, in awe, Lord, just that you would seek to give us an inheritance, Father, that you would seek to raise up mature sons, Father, from the imperfection of human beings, Lord. You didn't give it to angels. You seek to raise up sons, Lord. Father, indeed, we're amazed.
Yes.
And grateful. Lord, may we indeed feast on this food, Father. Partake in that which you would have us to partake, Father.
Yes.
Lord, continue to separate us from the world, Father.
Yes.
May we continue to be set apart, Lord.
Mm.
Raised up, grown up, Father.
Mm.
And the things that have been shown and are being shown to us, Lord.
Mm.
Father, we thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
because you are indeed not only our God, Father, but our Father.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you,
thank
Father.
You. Yes, Lord Jesus.
Bless your Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord. Oh, yeah. In
Jesus' name.
Amen. That's pure heart. Hallelujah. Lord, begin to give visions to John. More revelation. Even Trustman, he dearly desired, he said, I'm not sure I'm qualified, but I want it. I want it here for him. Only you see fit, Lord, I pray for that apprehension be gone, Lord. It's your good joy, said, give us your kingdom. It's your great joy to entrust with greater works, Lord. We don't need to shy about it. We want it, you delight that we want it, and you're waiting for a long time for us to hit the mark, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, what light you are. What light you are, Lord. Not to an encaged man, but to the one who turns the face, always seeking the light in the darkness. Thank you, Father, that you are the ever-increasing, brightening light, illuminating light. Thank you, Father. Today, the explosion of light happened to John about you, Lord. It has nothing to do with doctrines, with a simple understanding. It's not here or there. It's the wholesomeness, Father. It's a waterfall. It's everything, Lord. Some said it's the air we breathe. It's the ground we stand, Lord. It's everything we are. Because all things are created for this, because of this. And we thank you. We thank you. We occupied a beautiful place in our heart. I thank you, Jesus. You give God the Father glory when we wake up for this reality. Angels will dance and give God glory. Praise God. Because we said, we believe, therefore we speak. Hallelujah. We believe, therefore we speak. Thank you, Lord. Shake things up, Lord. Shake the devil up, Lord. Set us free. Set many free, Lord. And you called a lot, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We pray for the message of sonship, message of the kingdom. We'll just trumpet it out.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Father. Tim Glenn, hallelujah. I see the mighty release in the spirit and establishment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Idi Pada, and the sinews of your spirit is a broadened, is a strengthened, you know. I don't know how to explain it. Like a sap of the tree, you know? Sinews of your spirit. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not a fantasy, you know? God, life, the real, across the ages, love. Thank you, Father. Yes. Yes, it is you. It is about you, you know? In a sense. Why is it nothing to do with you? And it's not about you. Because old you had to die, and the new you had to overtake.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, God.
Lord, we bless you because of this glorious truth.
Mm.
That we can be one with you.
Mm. Yeah.
That your life can be imparted to us. And not just a portion of it, but the whole. That as you are, so we can be. And thus have your approval. Lord, I agree and ask that this truth, this good news, be sounded out. Oh God, we looked to see a gospel that fell short come to the end of the earth. But Lord, the true gospel has not yet been preached for ages, at least for an age. But now is the time.
It's the time. Yes.
Now is the time. Lord, where great turmoil brought an end to man's understanding of how you would do and fulfill your plan in the early years of Christianity. So now again, when all things are stirred up, at the peak of the suffering of your people, may we not deny it. But press through so that your life, your wisdom, can be known.
Yes, Lord. Jesus.
So, Lord, let the trumpets sound from the four corners of the earth.
Yes.
Lord, release the winds now.
Ah.
For those who you set apart, having the seal on their head, even the mind of Christ.
Yeah. Awake.
They've been touched.
Awake. Yes.
So, Lord, let everything now that can be shaken be shaken. And we fear it not, Lord, because we stand on the rock.
Yes.
And it will be to this rock, even to this mountain, that all nations will come for refuge, for healing, for provision. To be taught the ways of God.
You can't buy this with gold or silver. God don't need your gold or silver. Hallelujah. God needs a humble heart, a seeking heart. A king will go to the end of the world, found Jesus in the manger, and be blessed and worship him. Why he did that? Do you think you're better than that king? Have you traveled? Thank you so far. Have you waited through the years? When it's freely given to you, why you despise it? Why, may I ask? Why? The truth, if you despise me, I shall despise you. So be warned and wake up. Repent, for indeed my kingdom is here. As for you, have you doubted my love? Because I give you so much and call you to the ultimate glory of me? Have you troubled so much yourself that you think you're achieving nothing when I speak to you with this word, the hope and life? Who are you to compare me to? Am I not God? Am I not God? Yet, I long to be your father. I long to be your father. I searched and searched and search across the ages to find one who truly understands. Would you care to understand when I speak? Yes. Seek me and you'll find me. Love me and you will be loved by me. And those who love me, I will show him glorious, wonderful things. I will share my heart and my way, my passion and my future. Remember me as I remember you from the beginning, even to the end. Lord, Father, we bless you. Eating the Malanaya. Bless you, Lord. Father, 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 all loving and merciful, yet all righteous and strong, and steadfast. Thank you, Lord. Continue to give us grace and mercy. Continue the condition of our heart to those who know and understand, bit by bit, moment to moment, day after day. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your testimony, for your blood, for your living grace. Thank you for your glory that you confer to us, even as your brother. We bless you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for you are the truly wise and faithful and gracious servant. Continue to bless us. Continue to bring good reports. Help us to bring good reports, produce good reports to angels, to all the saints waiting, for the all creation waiting, especially for our Father, our Lord, that is waiting for the glorification and the illumination of us as a sun, the stars of heaven. You have called us one by one, Lord, by his name. We thank you are Abraham's son, but we are your sons first foremost. You were said, even Abraham don't know us, you know us. You are Father, Allah my son. Bless us, Lord. Bless you. Go ahead, dear. Thank you, Father. Isinia Palanama. Idi Nama Marina. The love God. Love God. Idi Nama my son. Idi Nama Marina. Yes. Thank you.
Yes, Father, bless your people. Lord, bless this people here. These men, our families. Lord, let your life flow through us. Lord, even to those in this area. Lord, somehow, let it be done.
Jesus, Nidinama, praise upon us, Lord, as we glorify you and give you all the glory. Continue to empower us, Lord, into your knowledge, into your word life, Lord. When we awake, be strong. When we filter, be faithful. When we trouble, Lord, be the supporting, steady hand, Lord, for us. Be our right hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. continue open doors for us, Lord, so we can serve you better and more fruitfully, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Mary, do you have anything? Hallelujah.
I can pray for us.
Yes, please do. Thank you.
Lord, we do praise you, Father. Father, for you are good, Lord. Father, you have called us. You know us.
Jesus.
And Lord, as others have testified, Lord, you will finish the work that you complete. So Lord, we do pray that you help us, Father, for our inner man to continue to be strengthened, Lord, to abide and to obey, and to be purged, Father, from all unrighteousness, all uncleanliness. Father, we know that you will make a perfect bride.
Mm-hmm.
So Lord, I, as Tim prayed, Lord, I pray for each one here, Lord.
Jesus.
We pray for Ben and his, and Cheryl and their family,
yes,
Father.
Yes.
Tim's family, Lord.
Yes.
Each person, Lord, you.
Mm-hmm.
Father, we pray that you bless them and you continue to strengthen and protect them, Father.
Yes.
Help us, Lord, and your people, Lord. We thank you, Father. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Anybody see anything? Lord, bless West, Lord. Thank you for the fire he's setting in the spirit. Thank you for the altar that is ever burning. Thank you, Father. Bless him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're going to wrap up here, so bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Anybody have anything? Thank you, Lord. You see the one?
I know that.
Bless him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I see everybody a little bit being touched by spirit. new opportunity. New favor, or thank you, Father, new solution. We pray for Lord, thank you that he sees it from try to do his own strife, Lord, or imaginations. He said, that's not the way I'm going to do it. Lord, thank you for, Lord, I pray, Lord, when that is settled firmly in his heart, that threshold cross, Lord, give him the new yard. Thank you, Father, the new yard of your favor in life. And ways to go about things in life, especially your life, Lord. Thank you for go about the business, Lord. Thank you, Lord. With the, Lord, the spirit that whatever hindered us, imaginary or real there, in you, they're nothing, Lord. You know them all. You know us well, Lord. So we ask you to mold them to be an intercessor, mediator on our behalf. Be the Lord. Be the Redeemer, Deliverer for us, Lord. Be the Overcomer for us. Be the King for us, Lord. Be the Mighty One, the God Almighty for us today, Lord. Hallelujah. Tim, hold up your hand and pray. Hallelujah. Share some strongholds more than your life in this nation, in whatever the Lord put in your heart. Do some serious battle. Dash something. The devil Lord, whatever damned, thank you, Father. Lord, let it break out. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Lord, the enemy, we know, stands so adamantly against us in every facet of our life. Lord, eagerly looking to see where and how he can possibly thwart the fulfillment of your plan in our midst, in our lives individually,
and
coming into fullness before you, and as a people, Lord. Lord, it's like when Israel traveled through the desert and the enemy presented himself through many nations, many peoples, many deceits, many traps, many battles. Lord, so everywhere we have gone, the enemy has sought to undermine or distract or turn away the progress, the path that you have put before us. Lord, if somehow to cause this train of your glory to come off track and come to a place of destruction. Lord, we know very well that even our own physical life has been attempted by the enemy to be taken away, which would do nothing to stop your plan, because the spirit man would yet live on as a witness in power to the truth and reality of your life. But Lord, here we are. You have not let the enemy touch us. But you have allowed him to take all things away. His hope is that we would become despondent, that we would become discouraged, that somehow in us there would be a desire for something less than your eternal reality, and we would turn away. We would relent. We would look back. We would seek something else, or return to something else. But Lord, we have nowhere to go. We have nothing to turn to. We can only look ahead. We can only hope for what you have promised. There is no turning back. The bridge is burned, Lord. The bridge of the wisdom of man, of the provision of man, of the hope of man, the desire of man is broken. The cords are cut.
Thank you, Lord.
So, Lord, we have to continue on. So, Lord, in this light, and by these words of power, let the enemy be shattered, because we cannot be stopped. Not because of our own strength, but because of your promise. Because your word is on it. Because we have the seal of your spirit, which is the guarantee of what is to come. So Lord, let it be accomplished.
Let it be done.
Lord, let the barriers that the enemy has put all around us, before us, be broken.
Be broken.
So that he will be
broken.
Utterly powerless.
Yes, Lord. Ha-yi-ki-na-ba-yi-ki-na-ba.
No longer touching our lives, our families, our minds, our thoughts, nor our plans. Because our plans are your plans. Lord, let the enemy not touch any longer our provision. Because what we have belongs to you.
Yes.
And he cannot rob you.
Yeah, let us be rich in the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Silver or gold I don't have, but I have a Jesus. I have God the Father. I have the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes. Yes, I wish God is going to show up or we just confirm certain things. I'm not sure. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Amen. Oh, we pray for Ben, his family, Lord.
Yes, well, Lord, at this time. Thank you.
Let me just do something real quick. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. In the mind. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Bring your people forward. Let them strong and courageous. Let's rise up, Lord. Your word said in you can hold up a countenance this land, regardless what the enemy faces. Because you are mighty strong, you are faithful, and you are willing to overcome the enemy for us and give unto us your promises. In this we do pray, Lord, for authority and power be granted, so we can do your work, Lord, in good grace and wisdom, Lord, in obedience and in results, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tim, I think you will see a vision. I don't know why. I think you will see a very mighty vision, actually.
Lord, it will be a confirmation and a fulfillment of a season for your life. And you're going to open up to see like the doors, double doors open there, right? So walk. You know, the doors close well. So you don't worry about the closing door because you open the door, everything behind you is automatically disappeared. So thank you, Father. Not by power, not by strength, but by your spirit. Thank you, Lord. Well, by your spirit. Lord, I pray right now, give us revelation in the things happening in the heavens. Before your court. Lord, no imagination, no speculation, no any disturbance. Thank you, Father. This is a place where angels cannot tread, Lord. Thank you, Father. In your holy presence, we thank you, Father. In Ma, Pala, angels to serve. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray for Tim's life to be sorted out, Lord. Complication, the holding, the pressure, the troubles, all disappear, Lord. I pray for quickly getting down, Lord. Things begin to settle in totally different direction by the end of this year, Lord, even before that. Actually, in November, in October, Lord, things begin to change, Lord. Things begin to just fundamentally change, Lord. Thank you, Father. Things begin to settle that it will never say, I'd go there, go here, I'd do this, do that anymore, Lord. He will know where to go, what to do, Lord. He will plow the field, sow the seed, and be a wise and fruitful farmer. Thank you, Father. Bless the farmer. Thank you, Father. Lord, no more delay. Anything said delay is anything imagination is your work. It's your goodwill to bless your people, Lord, in due time. Lord, I think about David in zigzag, Lord. Trouble this, trouble that, there's not too much victory, even there is one, but it's recovering things, Lord. Yet you have a totally different plan. Played out for him, Lord. Set the course you want him to be, Lord. Not in his own perception struggles, Lord. I pray for the same truth to be teams, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you just bring me to a story
In some words, Elisha, Lord, was tell the king, the servant, said, tomorrow, this day, you will see the provision. You will see the end disappeared. I remember there were three beggars get up, Lord. And they did something out of desperation. And we don't ask for the desperation. We don't ask. We just ask you, Lord. We will have the power of Elisha, Lord. We'll have the stability, Elisha, Lord. We'll know your will and not be troubled or overtaken by the situation today, Lord. Thank you, Father. We do pray for that moment to come. Lord, thank you, Father. For that release to come, Lord. So the enemy can be defeated, your glory, your goodness be exalted, Lord. Your servant be vindicated. Your word be vindicated. Your ways be vindicated, Lord. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, open up the will, Lord. Now, be light. The illumination. The insides of you. Now, thank you, Father. Lord, not by power, no strength, but by your Spirit. Thank you, Father. Idi, Ana, Pana, Ia, As, Nia, Ala, Mai, Idi, Kai, Ala, Sanda, Idi, Boa, Ala, Iki. Hallelujah. Lord, can you never imagine what the dead man did in the grave for him to be resurrected? He did nothing. Right, rest on your goodness and power. So I pray you will give us that kind of portion of the righteousness and power, Lord. Nothing to do with man, Lord. It's a imputation of your great goodness and power, Lord. You just said, it's time. This is where I am. This is why I'm God. This whole I quicken and change things. Thank you, Lord. I pray for that to be released right now, Lord, for our life. If we're dead in many ways, in our own detection and senses, but you are powerful, strong, active, Lord. You fulfill your word in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Anybody see anything today? Thank you, Father. I was waiting for it, so. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The wheel. Behind the wheel, Lord. Thank you, Father. See. Be seen, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Jesus. Oh, do we have a burden? Do anybody have a burden for any particular ones to pray for? I think there is someone. Burden of heart, concerns, fears.
I'm not quite sure how to verbalize it. There's a I guess it kind of disturbs me at some point that there's a choking. It's a spiritual inference, a demonic spiritual inference that is largely responsible for much of the. It's like robbery. We're being robbed of of the place and the things that the Lord has set us out to accomplish. I can almost see like a pie, like a it's largely
the sophisticated.
We were talking about it at dinner. It's largely a spiritual inference still. And bothers me that I continue to see and wrestle with the spirit, you know, signs of the spirit or Freemasonry. But working in, it's like there's a choking, and then the spirit of despondency sets in and creates this hopelessness because nothing, the appearance is on the surface. So
as a rest,
I guess what I'm sort of asking, obviously the Lord is sovereign. The Lord can just command the spirit to be gone, but there's obviously a reason why it continues to be such a struggle for us as a group. And obviously there's an overcoming that must occur there to be rid of it. So I guess the question that I have, you know, what continues to give it place? You know, our hearts are for the Lord in His ways. So why does this, why do we struggle so much with this spiritual inference? Why is it?
That is not necessarily, you think is a, you know, your spirit, you imagine, not imagine, you project it as a dot, right? Actually, it's not a dot, as a soul, it's a little baby within the womb.
Like an embryo?
Yeah, exactly. You know, like getting birth, something going on, tangled the neck. Sometimes can chop a baby to death, something like that. Well, the baby can do nothing, it's just wrestle. It's a birthing pain, birthing process. Now, the Lord said, yes, it's very difficult. In that place, it's a hopelessness. It seems unnatural, right? But I designed for a good purpose. I register a greater testimony through your lives. It's not depends on you, what you do, or not you think this affliction upon you is somehow caused by your own fault. It, the Lord said, it's not because that, it's because I ordained a different kind of testimony through your generation, through your group. So you go through more trouble. And, you know,
is perhaps there is still
a whole eternity, right? So
that, in other words, if there is an attraction, obviously, to something that spirit represents, it has a place in it, it invites it, it gives it right to be there.
That one is this. Is the familiar and religious spirit. Okay? Also, sometimes we have our own sins. We struggle with the self-sins, you know? But that's not the real reason. The real reason is the familiar and the religious spirit.
I think that, John, that aspect is what gives that spirit a control or domination over our minds. But it will not hinder the process that God has set out.
In other words, God's sovereign will.
To clarify, you know, even our own sin, God has already dealt with that, gone beyond that. But that gives the enemy, it really is a change in our mind or in heart more than it is having to do with the fulfillment or the releasing or the birthing out and fulfillment of the thing that God has promised. So God says, and there's a reason that he asked the question when he said, do I not bring to the point of labor and then not bring forth? So you come to that point in the labor process and you think the same thought. You say, why isn't this happening? Because everything's prepared. The term has been set, and I'm at the greatest peak of pain. Why isn't it happening? And it's at that point that the Lord says, I will bring it forth. I'm the one that brings it forth.
That's the first pain condition.
That's like the point of like brokenness, the point of birth getting ready to come forth.
That's also because the thing you present is so precious to God, so precious to His Word, the enemy knows it. You know, Jesus was in Bethlehem. Why all the children that died in Bethlehem? Why they have not? Is that God can do an intervention? Why God allow it to happen? Why he has to go? Why he can't have a, you know, a place to grow up, you know, so safely. You know, in human terms, that's not God. That's not, if he's the Son of God, if God is going to protect and honor and bless and the angels, this is not supposed to happen. That's a human target. Well, God knows better, you know, he let those things happen. It's pure evil, man. You think about it. What do you mean? The Son of God is born at the price of everybody, everybody else, and God don't do anything about it. I mean, doesn't make any sense. It doesn't fit our theology. So.
Yeah.
But it just happened.
Yeah.
God allowed him. He has a bigger purpose, more than preserve another human life.
Right.
You know, yeah.
Right.
Has a greater purpose. Through your life, you begin to depart from the condition, what causes this is a religious spirit, is the struggle is religion. Am I
right?
Do you understand my point? What I'm saying, familiar spirit, is be careful to sympathize with the kernel-minded family members. Be careful. They don't think spiritually.
Right.
Their mind is not on God, things of God. They demand your sympathy, demand your agreement, demand your investment, you know? So, but don't let that overboard. It's spiritual matters. It's the spiritual. Not spiritual. You know,
yeah.
You don't give in a baby asking for candies, you know, or through a feast, right? So why? Because you have the basic discernment, he's a baby, he's acting out, he's not gonna be happy, but
yeah.
You know, I had to tolerate, I had to deal with it. You know, that's my point, I even see anything about it. But no, that was not right, that's not healthy. You understand my point? You know, I'm not going to continue to have that in doubt. You know, one point I had to break it.
Mm-hmm.
One point I had to tell you. You understand my point? You're aware of what's going on, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
As much as grace you're loving, there's nothing wrong about your concerns there, am I right? So, but you're wise enough, you're capable enough to mend up that, you know what? It's okay 5 years through a fist.
Mm-hmm.
But when you trust it, because the religion so messed up, the family involvement so messed up with us, we can't trust in that kind of discernment and patience as a grace and power to minister to your family member, to others who are associated in the soul level. So it's difficult. Now, one side is because we have our problem, you know, we have the soul letting on guard, stuff like that, am I right? So, that's my point. We depend on those things, express ourselves. But when God began to say, let me grow you out of that, we would think it's robbery.
Mm-hmm.
The soul is terrified. But you and the soul, you understand that's absolute freedom for you, and you then enable to free all of them up.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a, you know, a man, can you save somebody? Really help some tremendously when you all are drowning or in the water. You have to swim, making balance. You guys tell everybody, this is the bother, doesn't bother me. I can sit here all day, you know, all my life. But you don't understand when God said, well, I don't want you to do that, Mary. I want you to be on the boat and dragging me out of the boat, drop the water, and the water never touches them anymore. We think spiritual life is about more powerful, make more endeavors, and share the same situation as a man in the water. That's not God's plan. He said, listen, son, that's from the season, beautiful, that's how you relate to others who is still in the water, but let me change you now. Let me bring you out of the boat, out of the water, and then, you don't sympathize with that anymore. Right? You fully understand what they're going through because you were there. But you don't struggle like they do. You don't entangle. You don't face the situation like they do. Doesn't mean, you understand my point. You fully appreciate what they go through. See? But you have a different posture now. You also know your position is not jumping into the river to help, you know, jumping into the water to help. Why? Because the season's gone, the Lord ordered you a better way to go about things. And there's different approach to help them. You know, to help them. You understand my point? The past season is that, hey, I'm doing better. You know, the water doesn't bother me. You know, they struggle, they drown it, you don't bother. You know, you give them a hand. That's wonderful service. But God said, let me tell you a better way, you know? But you got to not pay, build your spiritual relationship, your spiritual reality around as if you are still in the water yourself. I have drawn you out, I have given you the boat, now you need to learn. Be affirmed in a different way. I don't know why I seem to see these things. Now, in human relationships, very, very difficult, the familiar spirit work in love relationships. Means, somebody not familiar with me, they can never do that. That's why it's called the familiar spirit. Somebody has to be very intimately know me, and I very much care about, and they very much care about me. You know, that's my point. That's where it come from. I will give you another example right now. Here is you're a doctor, you know, you're assigned the job, you could take care of a lot kind of dogs, am I right? You know exactly how to discipline a dog. You know, bodybuild dog, imagine you have a, you know, a shop, you know, taking care of dogs, am I right? You will not, you love every dog, you know, you care for every dog, you appreciate every little dog, you know. You don't have bad heart for any dog. You want to do the best for them. But you have a different posture now. Because you know, you're a business owner, you deal with different dogs, you have many dogs, and you can't just say, oh, this is my puppy, you know, have the puppy do everything to you. You know, certain people, when they have their own puppies, you know, you understand my point. You will not allow that to happen. Why? You don't have time for it first, but you also, the rule changed. You literally assign a different role yourself. You care the puppy, maybe more love the puppy than the true owner of the puppy, you know, so I'm talking about, you know, so you really found the puppy. But you also know, well, that's not the way how I go about it. Mm-hmm. So you begin to sign a different way to go about it, to express your love, express your care, as a result different. So in God way, He want us to sometimes want us to be released from those entanglements, not for robbery, but for you to be enabled to handle with the greater situations, with a greater capacity of freedom. Mm-hmm. That's where the human struggle comes in. Mm-hmm. One part is us, but also the big part is you don't have we are now keen to refer to us to how God's way has worked it out. It's very difficult. You know, thinking about Moses. I mean, this is Moses' example, am I right? He has a big brother, big sister, I mean, nephews, cousins, you know, all kinds of family members. And, you know, God has to through him in all that, use all that around, and tell them to do things in God manner to God, you know? And eventually his heart is to settle with it. He said, you know what? My brother, my sister, I can't explain to you. You might be angry with me, but I can't just, you know, yield to that. I can't be swayed by you, you know? You know, I don't want to defend myself, but here's God, you know? So, yeah, God has to get through on that. God will get through on that. And how you do that? Well, let me tell you, there are times withdrawal, not life withdrawal, spiritually be equipped to withdrawal. You can't be a doctrinaire the next day. You got to know the difference between dog owner and the doctrinaire. You know, the difference posture. There's a huge difference. It's, you know, in terms of God's ministry for the body of Christ. Pastors, what I want to talk about the capacity here is pastoral gifts. The pastoral way, the heart for pastoral. There's nothing wrong about it, you know. You pastors, you mess, you know, you involve those things, you know. But the pastoral heart, you got to understand, you can't be spent by everything that comes from the carnal ways of man. Your job is not to take care of the soul needs, man. Your job is to to set a standard, you know, spiritual, to hold a standard. Yeah, we need, especially in family members, we need to, when children face that, you know, you can't always indoctrinate them, but you need to be aware that the soul struggling, the solution is never in the soul. The solution is always ended up in the spirit. So is the child continuing unfamiliar, and you continue to tend to offer soul solution to your child, eventually you're going to problem. You never get the real solution. But if you intended to get involved with the child, unfamiliar with the ways, I let him to know you, but you build into a spiritual place where you said, let me tell you what the spiritual answer is, the spiritual solution is. Well, the child literally can be transformed instantly. It doesn't take much effort to transform. But if you can spend a lot of time to deal with the soul, to feed the soul, right, you never get an answer. You know, the soul is like, you know, it's not to be popper. You know, I like it, Oswald Chambers, the word. It sounds cruel, but this is a wise love, right? This is a wise love. Making sense. Bread is a teacher, right? I mean, you know, students who are not familiar with you, they come to know you, they feel you kind. Every student wants to build a unique relationship with you, in case, right? So, you know, young child, right? After a half a year, they all have different opinion about you. You will see them have different opinion about you. And your job is not to change their opinions, you see? Your job is to do the teaching job, continue to use the way that you'd be a teacher when you like. You can't allow the children's emotions or opinions to continue sway of your job. You know, as if they're going to decide you qualify for a teacher or not. They don't have a say about it. You're the teacher, the student. They need to begin to understand whether they feel they care for or not, you know, in a unique way, whatever they think is proper and right for them. It doesn't matter. You're the teacher, they're the student. But that's very difficult for us to apply that to my little lesson, right? That we hold our hand together. I think team, the reason I say is to share team prayer for us in this time. Thank you, Father. Mama, you know, like a son. Normally, I don't talk about these things. Used to. So, used to. This day, this hour, the solution is in the wisdom of the Lord. Don't worry too much. He will work it out. Yeah. We just need to pay attention to it.
Lord, I pray that we would see your heart in all things, Lord, and truly learn your wisdom. Mm-hmm. Let it become mature in us, Lord, mm-hmm. so that we have the eyes to see as you see, mm-hmm. ears not only to hear you, but to heed your voice. Mm-hmm. So, Lord, again we ask that the grasp of the enemy be loosened, because you will bring forth. Lord, you said, even if the vision tarries, wait for it, because it will not be long. Lord, you are eternal outside of time. So at the utterance of your word, the fulfillment comes, the release comes. But it's in your time. So Lord, give us patience and strength. Lord, even so, you said the time is now. So Lord, let there be a breaking forth.
Yes. Lord, if it's a religious spirit or familiar spirit, we ask you to deal with it. If it's a demonic spirit at Johnson's back or free ministry and other things, we ask you, mighty sword, mighty rod. Chop it off, Lord. We don't want to suffer the damage from the enemy, who is a liar who come to kill, destroy, and steal, Lord. We don't want him to work. We want to undo his work. Thank you.
But if there are things that through familiar spirit, through soul ties, or through religious spirit, through our own reformed mind, Lord, we ask you to continue to liberate us as well, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We need to burst it out from things, Lord. Thank you, Father. Through the two, we know in your words and revelation the enemy waiting for the child and to be burst, and there's two major dangers there, Lord. First is the bursting. The second is when the child is birthed, the enemy is in wait. Certainly, he has earned a lot more than the woman who is in birth. But Lord, you are the one, and Tim said, you bring to that moment of birth, and you will give the right for delivery. And we will wield the iron rod, the rod iron, rod your authority power, to dash every weapon, every power. Thank you, Father. That is the double-edged sword you tell us, Lord. Even the word out of the mouth of your truth and your wisdom, Lord. Your will and your message, the living message unto man. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Who is worthy of these things? No one is worthy. But in Christ Jesus, you have given us the grace enabled it. And this we ask for, and this we ask for more. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, I remember your word said, it's like a child, a birth pain before you go to the cross, you said. But be of a good cheer, for I will come to the world. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your overcoming the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be encouraged and blessed, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I will pray for Elaine, Kitty, and the family. John, pray for family, for Tim. He has many family members. I first want to thank you for the mighty, beautiful work that you're doing in Rachel's life, Lord. And the children. And many others around the life, Lord. Lord, I pray for Tim to rise above like a mighty tall tree, Lord. The tree has a mighty canopy, a mighty shade. Thank you, Father, making that found rest. I pray for Brett, Lord, his life dedicated and set apart. I thank you for his being my helper. Lord, I'm not always know how to appreciate people, but I truly so appreciate him, Lord. Thank you for the change you wrought his life. That's a fundamental and beautiful change, Lord. It makes us heart just rejoice and delight, Lord. Yeah. More is to come, Lord. I pray continue for him to be more than steadfast. But Lord, I'm thinking about the word of recent. Lord, it's not always a race in our walk. Sometimes it's a step, sure step, like ascending, Lord, in the mountain, Lord. So I pray this two will combine together in pure wisdom, stability, and understanding the breath of life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Make one step and never retreat. Thank you, Father. It's a step for soul. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And continue to give me solutions to life, Lord. But we know that He's waiting, like we're all waiting, for only your solutions, Lord. So in the waiting, we'll praise you, glorify you, and do the things you give us to do today. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You're alive and well. So are we, Lord. We shall do and praise you, Lord. Do your work and praise you. Thank you, Father. Pray for the sum up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Bless us. Jesus.
Lord, we thank you, Father. As John mentioned, we know that you are sovereign, Lord.
Mm.
Lord, help us to trust, to rest, Father, in your power, in your will.
He is able, he is able.
So Lord, we pray for forgiveness for our missteps, our unbelief. Lord, we do pray continually for your guidance, your wisdom, your understanding, Lord. Continue to walk, Father, in this life. So Lord, I pray that you do bless each one here, Father. Soon, John, Tim, Lord.
Yes.
Pray for Father, we know that your desire is to grant the fullness of your life as a son, Lord. Jesus, we know that you are the author and the perfecter of this faith. So Lord, we trust you that you will do this, Lord.
Yes.
We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. Love you, Dad. Hallelujah. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Rock. Yes.
Rock.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi, you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah,
get some rest.
Yeah.
All right.
Brother. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.